Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the American Public Health Association annual meeting. My name is Carmen Moulton. I'm the moderator for this session on serving rural and underserved populations. I'm also a program director within the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities at the NCI, which is the National Cancer Institute. It is a pleasure to introduce our speakers for this session. I also want to note before I begin that our question and answer session or period will take place at the end of the session. I was delaying starting this session because we're missing one speaker. Perhaps she's getting lunch, but she should arrive soon, hopefully before her presentation time. Our first speaker is Ms. Alicia Brazel, and she's a graduate student in the Department of Community Health and Health Behavior at the University at Buffalo. She will complete her master's degree in public health on May 2012. Ms. Brazel is currently assessing surveillance, epidemiology, and end results data to investigate racial and ethnic disparities in prostate cancer treatment. Her mentors are Drs. Willie Underwood and Heather Oram. Ms. Brazel will address racial ethnic disparities in the treatment of prostate cancer among men aged 55 years and younger. Welcome, Ms. Brazel.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. This is my first time presenting at APHA, and it feels really awesome. So let's get started. So I have no personal financial relationship to disclose. And I just wanted to start off with an overview of what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm going to talk about some general disparities in survival and differences in prostate cancer treatment. And then I'm actually going to focus on what we're here to talk about, which is prostate cancer treatment differences among men aged 55 years or younger. And so as you can see, with the general overall U.S. prostate cancer incidence rate, blacks are 1.8 times, have an incidence rate of 1.8 times higher than white, and 1.8 times higher than Hispanics as well. And when we break it down by age, we see that the age-adjusted incidence rates for men under 65, blacks still have a nearly two times higher incidence rate compared to whites. And when we further break down the age-adjusted, age-specific incidence rates into five-year categories, so we have 40 to 44, 45 to 49, and we have 50 to 54, we still see that blacks have a higher prostate cancer incidence rate compared to whites. And we know the most about black-white differences in prostate cancer. So similar to the incidence rates, we see that blacks are more likely to be die from prostate cancer compared to whites at about two times the rate. And part of these differences in death rates are due to differences in survival, which, as we can see, blacks have lowest five-year prostate cancer-specific survival compared to whites and Hispanics. And so you may be wondering, why are there these racial ethnic differences in survival? And there are three potential sources. There are differences in stage of diagnosis, tumor biology, and differences in prostate cancer treatment. And then even among all these three sources, there are racial ethnic differences among them, such that blacks are diagnosed with more advanced disease, higher tumor grade, and the differences in survival, they're not solely due to these two things, but the treatment differences also play a large part in the survival disparities as well. And there's actually a large literature that has found that these differences in treatment persist despite controlling for stage and tumor characteristics. So with prostate cancer treatment, clinicians use three different types of information to inform their treatment recommendations for their patients. They use clinical TNM staging, Gleason score, or otherwise known as cancer grade, and they also use the prostate-specific antigen test. So in our study, we actually controlled for two of these. We controlled for Gleason score, cancer grade, and PSA levels. And we're going to take a little closer look at Gleason score. So Gleason score is a rating of cell differentiation, and the higher the score, the more differentiated from normal the cells are, and so consequently, the more aggressive the cancer is. And this can be used as a proxy measure of how fast this cancer is growing. So if you have like the Gleason score 8 or 7, 8 to 10 or 7 cancers, your risk for recurrence after receiving definitive treatment, you have an intermediate to high risk for it recurring again. And so, as I said, clinicians, they use this information to determine what type of treatment recommendations they want to make for their patients. And the treatment recommendations can be divided into two groups, non-definitive treatments and definitive treatments. And under non-definitive, recommendations can be made for active surveillance or androgen deprivation therapy alone. And under definitive treatments, there is radical prostatectomy, or otherwise known as surgery, external beam radiation, brachytherapy, or combination therapy, which is where you combine two forms of radiation and or surgery. So active surveillance and definitive treatments are options at all levels of risk. But surgery or radiation, along with androgen deprivation therapy, they're associated with lower risk of cancer progression and prostate cancer death. And this is especially so for high-risk disease. And so we can see evidence of this when we review Albertson and colleagues' study, where they actually looked at 20-year outcomes among men who were treated with non-definitive therapy. And so they looked at a retrospective population-based cohort study and they used the Connecticut Tumor Registry. So they gathered data on 767 men between the ages of 55 to 70 years of age at diagnosis, and they followed them for 20 years and looked at their 20-year survival as they were treated with this non-definitive therapy. And so in the figure, the darker shaded area is prostate cancer mortality. The lighter shaded area is non-prostate cancer specific mortality, so dying from other causes. And then the white area is survival. And we see that among men who receive watchful waiting or this non-definitive treatment, prostate cancer survival is age and grade dependent. And the far left column is men aged 55 to 59 years. And we see that the younger the age and the higher the grade, the higher the risk of death from prostate cancer compared to all other causes. And so you see here there's a dramatic jump between Gleason score 6 and Gleason score 7 in 8 to 10 cancers. And so among men aged 55 to 59 with Gleason score of 8 to 10 prostate cancer, almost 90% of them were dead of prostate cancer by year 15, and they were on watchful waiting. And so let's compare receiving a definitive treatment, such as radical prostatectomy, versus watchful waiting. And Bill Axelson and her colleagues, they followed 695 men who were newly diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it was pretty equally split between randomly assigning them to either surgery or watchful waiting. And they looked at the cumulative incidence of death from prostate cancer. And as you can see here, so this top part is men older than 65 years. The bottom is men under 65 years. And you can see the darker line is with surgery, and the lighter line is with watchful waiting. And you can see that there's a benefit to receiving surgery compared to receiving watchful waiting after 15 years. And so the main point with this was that men who were treated with surgery had lower risk of prostate cancer-specific death and also distant metastases if they were under 65. And this effect appeared to be driven by men with intermediate and high-risk disease because when they compared the cumulative incidence between surgery and watchful waiting among men with under 65 with low-risk disease, it was a non-significant difference. And so that makes it appear to be driven by these men with intermediate to high-risk disease. And that leads us to the rationale for the current study. So we know that blacks are more likely to be diagnosed at younger ages with Burke's disease, and that blacks in general are less likely to receive definitive treatment compared to whites. And now we know that receiving surgery has survival benefits. So I asked the questions, are there racial ethnic differences in receiving definitive treatment among men 55 years and younger? And we used the 2004 to 2007 surveillance epidemiology and end results data. And then we also asked the question, well, are there also racial ethnic differences in the type of definitive treatment received among men 55 years and younger? So we actually used SEER data from 17,765 men. That number is accidentally wrong. And we looked at them age 55 or younger, as I said, diagnosed with clinically or localized prostate cancer. And we examined the racial ethnic differences in the odds of receiving definitive treatment using a logistic regression, and then used a multinomial logistic regression to investigate the racial ethnic differences in type of definitive treatment received. Now, before we go on to take a look at the logistic regression results, let's try to understand our sample characteristics a little better. So as you can see, with AJIC diagnosis, blacks were more likely to be diagnosed at younger ages compared to whites, Hispanics, or Asians. They were less likely to be married, and they had a higher overall PSA mean on average. And then when we look at the Gleason score breakdown, we see that compared to all other race ethnicities, blacks were less likely to have Gleason score 6 cancers, and they're more likely to have Gleason score 7 cancers. And when we look at the Gleason score 8 to 10 cancers, we see that whites were least likely to be diagnosed with Gleason score 8 to 10 cancers compared to all other race ethnicities. And so across the board, when we look at the percentage of each treatment modality received, we see that in general, everybody was more likely to receive surgery compared to any other treatment. But we also see that blacks were less likely to receive surgery compared to whites, Hispanics, or Asians. And when we look at the odds of receiving definitive treatment, so any of those, surgery or radiation, we see that blacks and Hispanics had lower odds of receiving definitive treatment compared to whites. And looking at the relative risk of receiving one type of definitive treatment over watchful waiting, we see that blacks and Hispanics have lower relative risk of receiving surgery over watchful waiting compared to whites. Hispanics have lower relative risk of receiving external beam radiation over watchful waiting compared to whites. And Hispanics have lower relative risk of receiving brachytherapy over watchful waiting compared to whites. And there are no significant racial ethnic differences in receiving combination therapy over watchful waiting. So the take-home point is that the difference in receiving definitive therapy in blacks and whites is entirely driven by the lower rate of receiving surgery, whereas with Hispanics, the difference in receiving definitive therapy is driven by the lower rates of receiving both surgery and either radiation type compared to whites. And so in summary, we see that among men aged less than 55, blacks and Hispanics had lower odds of receiving definitive treatment than whites. And in the same cohort, blacks and Hispanics, they had a lower relative risk of receiving surgery over watchful waiting. And compared to whites, Hispanics have a lower relative risk of receiving either external beam radiation or brachytherapy over watchful waiting compared to whites. And so we've seen that there are documented racial ethnic differences in receiving and prostate cancer treatment received among minorities compared to whites, and this has persisted for over a decade. And now we know that it's apparent even among men diagnosed at age 55 or less. And so what we need to do is we need to see if maybe this could be a contributing factor to their overall decreased prostate cancer-specific survival compared to whites. And so that's something that can be looked into in the future. And that's all I have to present today.